Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We're talking specifically about vaccinations, the cover-up, and autism, and how is these things affecting us as a population and the control. We are playing a part that's a three-minute video. Matter of fact, it's, 3-minute video that explains in detail enough that helps you identify what vaccinations have been doing to the population in a cover-up by the government, or what we call the CDC. Okay, listen for one moment and we'll comment on it.
My phone rings and it's Dr. William Thompson.
You and I don't know each other very well. You have a son with autism and I have great shame now.
There's a whistleblower from the CDC who's going to come out and say that the CDC had committed fraud on the MMR study and that they knew that vaccines were actually causing autism.
My oldest son, Ian, was walking and running after the vaccine. He was no longer able to do that. So I called the clinic and I said, I think my child's had adverse reaction to those shots. And then came the head banging. Constant banging against anything that he could find.
Right now, I'm sitting in a very pretty position in terms of providing you a lot of information.
The first thing that Thompson did was to plot a graph. Now, if there's no link between early MMR and autism, those two lines should track together. And they do track together until they get to 15 months. And they separate, and they continue to separate thereafter. And they sliced and diced the data in an effort to get rid of that effect.
The relative risk of receiving...
Okay, right here, where they talk about the relative risk of receiving autism, now they go to a screen, and that's where this guy has all his data, and it's specific. He clicks on black boys, and above that, they give you percentage and different things that talk about not just black boys, but it says blacks, and then above that, it says boys. So I assume it's a combination of what it is affecting all boys. Then the next line underneath it is how does it affect blacks? And then the next line deals with how it affects black boys. So, Mope, you were saying something earlier?
I watched some different, and another clip that was more, that was longer. And it, I think it had some interviews and stuff on it too, but it was talking about the population, you know, of black, and then the population of how many would be autistic by a certain time. I can't remember. It was like kind of soon though. It was maybe within the next 20 years or something like that. Of, you know, it'd be like of the whole population. I was thinking it was saying it'd be around 70% or something like that of the kids, just an entire population of people in the entire population. And then in the black community, it's like 80 or 90% would be autistic. And then it was just crazy because it was showing the amount, like we're showing like a correlation between the amount of shots that were given to people when they are first born, you know, and when they're within the first months of their life, and then comparing it to the amount of shots of people that were given now, and it's like doubled or something ridiculous. And then talking about what exactly they're giving you in those shots, and how one of the shots that they give you when you're first born, I can't remember what it is, but one of the ones that you get like when you're first born, like they take you out, they give you some shots, and this is one of them. And it's something that if you're 250 pounds, then the dosage they give you is a safe dosage, but obviously a baby's not. So they're saying that the dosage that they give you is way too high, and it has effects on children. So it was just really interesting, you know, seeing that, talking about how, you know, they're just dumbing everybody down, and you know, so it'll be easier kind of be easier, I guess, to control everything if people aren't able to use their brains in the way that they used to be.
All right, good point. Now, the numbers you're going to hear in a second because it's on this video. All right? If no one has any comments, I'm going to play the rest of the video out. And if I think something is important to freeze it, I'll freeze it. And we'll comment on it. But like I said, it's only a 3-minute clip. Here it goes.
The autism diagnosis was astronomical.
Wow. The CDC had known all along there was this MMR autism risk.
In CDC's judgment, the best public policy is to continue vaccination unchanged.
You who run our health agencies in this country, you have an obligation to make sure that these studies are complete, thorough, so that we have all the facts.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did.
Omission of crucial data, destruction of documents, misleading the Congress, grievous harm to innocent children.
Everything I've been telling my patients for the last 10 years has been based on a lie and a cover-up.
Parents should be able to count on federal agencies to tell them the truth.
In 1978, the prevalence of autism was about 1 in 15,000 children.
If we assume that things are going to continue as they have, we can predict that by 2032, 80% of the boys born will end up on the autism spectrum. Half the children, 80% of the boys.
It's a vast number of children who are being diagnosed with autism every day.
This is going to be a complete catastrophe if we just let it happen.
Okay, there we go. That was the 3-minute clip. Now, if you want to, you can rent the video or whatever. I wasn't interested at that point. I just wanted us to understand what we were dealing with. Any comments from anyone?
No.
Okay, so we are saying by 2032, we're talking about, what, 80% of the population? I mean, no, wait, I think it's 80% of the boys. Now, this is interesting. They're targeting the boys, not the females. This is very important. And then, like I said, on the screen, they showed you black boys, but as they talk about this, they just talk about boys in general. Then they said that the population, I'm looking here now, by 2014 cases has been rising exponentially. I think it's like 1,082,353. That's what it shows up here on the screen. And they said they're going to get, let me play that part again.
Children who are being diagnosed with autism every day.
Okay, yes, that's the numbers that are being interviewed with autism every day.
This is going to be a complete catastrophe if we just let it happen.
Okay, so they're showing autism rates in the year of 1975 was 1 out of 5,000. So out of every 5,000 kids that were shot, one of them would become autistic. Then they move to the year. I'm looking here at the graph. See, I can steal it and see what it's saying. This one is showing 1981, 82, around 80, between 82 and 83. It was now one for every 2,500. So that means it doubled. Can y'all follow that?
Mm-hmm.
In around less than 10 years, it doubled from one in every 5,000 to now half of that, which is one in every 2,500. By the year, they're showing here, 1990, so that's 1994, it shows one out of every 500. Then by the year 2002, it's showing that it's one out of 166. And this is an exponential curve, by the way. It's not a straight linear curve. It's an exponential curve. Then they showed in 2004, that it has moved to 1 out of 150 children. And this is called the prevalence of autism in children percentage versus each year in the United States autism. And that's the name of the specific graph. Any questions about that?
Mm-mm.
Any thoughts? I mean, because we moved from 1975 to 1994 or 93 from 5,000 to now 10 times that amount to now to 500. So that is, I mean, that's pretty serious. And so that's why they were saying, I'll play that part again.
That by 2032.
Okay, so now they have, on their, by 2010, the last one, the last counter that they count was 2011. It was one for every 68 children became autistic.
80% of the boys born.
Get that. 80% of the boys born
will end up on the autism spectrum.
Will end up with autism spectrum. 80%? 2032? That's 50% of the population.
And 80% of the boys.
Okay. It's half of the population of the United States, but 80% of the boys. Now, my question is, out of that 80% of the boys, how many is that percentage of black boys? Because we went from 50% of the entire population to 80% of just the boys. If we move out the white boys, what do we have? Are we at 90% of the black males? I don't know. They don't tell you. And I don't think in the thing that you're going to rent for $3 or $4, $3.99, they're going to tell you neither. So what are we dealing with here? Well, for sure it's sorcery. Mama Kia, that's a given. Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. And the merchants of the earth and the great men of the earth, the tycoons of the earth, are practicing sorcery. So my question was, well, a question we should be thinking about, why are they attacking boys? And why are they attacking male boys, to be very specific, of blacks? Well, we know that, okay, so starting with that, we read in the scriptures that in Babylon, and that's where we are, we're in the belly of the beast, Babylon. Okay, that when Babylon is fallen, Revelation 18. Yeah, I got my scriptures up here now. Now they ain't trouble, boy. All right. Then I got Revelation chapter 18. If anybody wanted to turn in with me, if they have their scriptures there, it would be useful. Okay, in Revelation chapter 18, it says. Matter of fact, Mom and I, we were reading this yesterday in the car riding back from New York. And after these things, starting at verse 1, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. We'll come back to this power and light and all that later at another study. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of, there's three major things that it becomes. The habitation of devils, the habitation and the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So we have now running the country, the state, the religion, and the merchants of the earth, the tycoons of the earth, because that's who's running it, everything. They have the foul spirits. They are habitations of devils and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, which one is what? Which one is the state? Which one is the church? Which one is the merchant? Any comments?
Read them again, slowly.
Okay, no problem. Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become the habitations of devils. That's the first one. And the hole of every foul spirit, the second one. And the third one is the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's the third one.
Okay, so what are three options again?
The first one is the habitation of devils.
No, I'm saying the three options. You said it's something today, right?
Yeah, church, state, and merchants.
Merchants.
I have an idea, but I want y'all to think, and I need to get y'all ideas before I throw out mine.
Merchants is the unclean animals, right, I think.
Okay. Cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You're saying that's the merchants, okay? No problem.
That makes sense to me. The church? I don't know.
The devil?
Hmm?
Okay, the habitations of devils is another one. And
what about
the last
the spirits?
And the third one is the whole of every foul spirit. You already put the unclean and hateful birds and merchants. So the two that are left are every foul spirit and the habitation of devils.
The habitation of devils, I think, would be the church, and the other one would be the state.
Okay. Okay, so we can see the church is the habitation of devils. Okay? And the Bible does talk about, Yeshua does call them a generation of vipers. I mean, that's what John the Baptist called them. Okay? And then we have the every foul spirit. Okay? So anyway, between those three, that's what's going on according to the book. Now, this is the next part. Verse 3, that was verse 2. Verse 3, Revelation 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. So there again you have what? All nations being drunk with the wine of the church and her fornication. And the kings of the earth, the states and so forth, the presidents and whatever they want to call them, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They have become one with the church and state has become one. Even though we say church and state are separate, that's not true. And the merchants of the earth, that's the third one, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So we see, again, the Bible's telling you, they describe the three of them in spiritual sense, then it describes them in physical sense. Now the question is asked, as I was asking yesterday, it says that all nations are, and everybody, the inhabitants of the earth, are made drunk through the wine. Okay. How are we intoxicated? What is intoxication? What does it mean for us to be drunk with wine? What does that mean? What happens to a person when they are drunk? Or high, or whatever you want to call it. Shot up with LSD, whatever.
They don't
act in
their right mind. I got you to say.
I can't hear you.
They don't act in their normal thinking.
They don't have control over themselves.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Now, one thing my mom mentioned to me, she said that when you're in that condition, sometimes you black out and don't even know what you did. You're not in charge of your body. You have no clue what's going on around the environment, and you don't even know what you're doing and why you're doing it, but you're doing it. Now, does that describe the condition of our of the black community today?
In some aspects, I would say, yes.
Okay. Which ones it does and which ones it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I would say you think about, like, okay, the crime rate in certain places. You ask why they don't like a certain person or why they don't like a certain gang or whatever, and they don't even really know. Well, I don't know. But for some reason, I mean, I just don't like the blood, don't like the Crip. Why? I have no idea, you know. They just know that they're not supposed to like each other. So, or education-wise, when it's not cool to get an education, so, you know, for some reason, well, why isn't it cool to get an education? Oh, I don't know. I just don't want to be one of those smart kids. Or, like, why wouldn't you want to be a smart kid? But it's just, you ask these kids questions and they don't know, but they know, they believe what they believe, but you ask them why, and they don't know why. They just know it's what they believe. Not even really just kids, I mean, just, but I mean, I could relate it probably more to kids now.
Yeah, or someone maybe who just, you know, casually robs a store, you know, or, you know, jumps the person, you know. They're like, oh, I didn't do that. I don't remember doing that, you know. Or assaults a police officer or something, you know, like something. Some people just do illogical things.
What's that football player we're talking about? What's that player's name, Jabari? Aldrin something.
Who?
Aldrin, the football player Jabari and I were talking about yesterday.
Oh, Aldrin Smith? He's a little
He just, his grasp on reality isn't really there. But also, I mean, you can relate it to relationships, like when somebody cheats on somebody, you ask the person, well, why'd you cheat on me? 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, oh, I don't know. Literally. What? You have no idea? Like, it just, I guess it happens with a lot of stuff. You don't know why you do a lot of things. You just do it and see what happens.
And what about this gang shooting and this drug infesting our community? Like, example, I was just thinking that as we, in our communities, we're finding out that people are, you know, they got the gangs and they're shooting each other and, you know, black on black violence, all of that crazy stuff. And we find out, my point is trying to understand what these things are doing to us and why is it affecting the black population so much. So that we're 13% of the population, so black males are not 13% of the population. The black community is 13% of the population. And say we say half and half. So basically, we're like, black males are like 6.5% of the population, and they're what, 80 to 90% of the people in prison? There's some problems here. There's something that's pushing us in that direction and taking us overboard. And we lock up, or we have more people locked up in America than anyone else in the entire planet. We have more than Russia or any other place that we condemn and we say that are bad. But we have more people locked up in prison than anything else. So what is the education system doing for us? What is the church doing for us? What is the food and the merchants of the earth and the movies and the TVs and the video games, what are they doing for us? So now the next question is, okay, if you're blacking out, if you're doing things that you don't even remember, you don't even know why you're doing them, then you're intoxicated. But it didn't say it intoxicated black people. It says all, for all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All of us are intoxicated. But why is it affecting the black male population at a greater extent than any other population in America? I don't know about the world. I don't like to talk about is America. And so what we're seeing, so the next question was, okay, if you're intoxicated, if you're a drug addict, if you're an alcoholic, okay, how do we get you help? Any comments?
Send you to a self-help program, give you, for smoking, I guess they give you, like, little packs and give you drugs to help you do that. If you go off to a facility, a lot of times they give you drugs to help you get rid of other drugs, to replace your addiction to some drugs, to other drugs.
Okay, let's stay off of drugs. Let's stay off of drugs. It just said...
I'm not talking about what they do in reality.
Okay. What I'm saying is I understand the drug aspect, but it's not telling us that the whole world is shot up with heroin. It says the whole world, the nations have drunk of the wine. How do you get liquor out of a person? That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, you're giving them water and let them pee it out.
Does that solve the problem? But that just makes them sober for the minute.
Well, I mean, it makes them sober for the minute. I thought you said, how do you get rid of, like, if somebody's really drunk, what do you do for them? You're supposed to give them food, give them water, put them somewhere where they can't hurt themselves, hopefully.
All right. Good. But we need to solve the problem. We don't want a Band-Aid.
So the person from getting...
I'm asking you to think about it. Mom gave it a perfect example. Mom gave it the solution. But I want to hear how you guys are thinking about this. That's what I want to first investigate. Then I would tell you what Mom said. And what Mom said is the answer, really. And all of us know it, but we don't think on this level. So that's why I'm asking us to think about this. You have an alcoholic, or you are an alcoholic. How do you get this person straight? Because that's the bottom line. That's what I mean. We got this problem, and the Bible says we're clearly drunk with wine, liquor. Okay. How do we break this? Because that's what our community is. Our community is high. Our community is not thinking. So we have the problem, but let's look at the physical, then we can try to apply it from another perspective. So that's the key.
So I guess you could take away access to the... to whatever it is.
Yes, that's what Mom said. You got to take the bottle from them. You got to stop them from getting to the bottle. You got to put them in an environment where they cannot get to the bottle. If they get to the bottle, it's over. That's what she said. I said, wow, you're right. That's what it is. Okay, so what is the bottle that's doing this to our community? The churches? Their white Jesus, their white supremacist doctrine, the education system that the state requires, white supremacy teachings again, and then the merchants of the earth, you know, even teaching white supremacy through the music, teaching it through selling the black music that's downgrading black people, through the movies that's showing that that the whites are God's people and that they're the ones that go to heaven and they're the children of God and they're in charge of the church, they're in charge of the state. But if they're in charge of the church and in charge of the state, how come the black people are still getting shafted? If this is a Christian nation, if it's under God, the question is, what God is it under? There's only, you know, the God of this world and a God of, you know, heaven. So what is going on? How do we get them to disconnect from that, which is addicting them, which is the wine, the video games, the movies, their books, their history. I mean, they are feeding us so much white supremacy that we're hating ourselves, and that's why we're killing each other, and we're doing the same thing. And then they were being fed that. That's how they created the KKK. That's how they created, you know, segregation. That's what, they did all of that because they were even drinking of this. So my whole point is everyone is drinking of this intoxicated wine of Babylon and is reacting to it. Whites react to it by white supremacy, KKK. Blacks react to it by having their own KKK, kids killing kin. And by making the music, by making these stupid movies that talk about, you know, us in that regard. Is any of this making sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So how do we get away? What were you saying?
No, I was saying I agree that this is just where we're at, the state that we're in. And
okay, but the book. Now, the book gives us the solution. The merchants of the earth through the food, through the pharmakia, and we just heard through the CDC. We just heard it. And remember, they hate us. Why do they hate us? According to Revelation, we just read, there's the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. They hate us because that's what they are. That's what this system is. Because I've been trying to figure out, why do y'all hate us so much? What did we do that you hate us? Then it became crystal clear. Yeah, I mean, it became crystal clear. We were talking yesterday, my mom and I, on our way back from Pennsylvania down to Maryland, we were talking. She's reading. And then it dawned on me. When you turn to Revelation, chapter 14, it tells you, starting in verse 1, and lo, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as it was the voice of waters and a voice of thunders. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with woman. What's woman? Church. These people were not defiled by the church, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. They lived on the planet, being the first fruits unto Elohim and of the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. I think that the birds that hate the people of Yahweh, they don't want them to reach this place. And they're doing everything to destroy them, to mess up their minds, and keep them from being the 144. The church has read this. They read this. The government has read this. The merchants have read this. And when you see all the movies are all showing that none of this stuff relates to us. It's all, I asked the question, when you saw the movies, when you see the movies, they're starting a new series on Jesus. When you see this, it's all white supremacy again. And so the question was, they have created a counterfeit on every level. The counterfeit food, which they're feeding us, the counterfeit drugs, which they're feeding us. Yahweh has cellular food that comes from his hand, that's created. They have canned food. They have thick food that poisons your system. The counterfeit They have, Yahweh has created the herbs for the healing of the nations. They have created sorcery, pharmakia, to feed us. The counterfeit is in everything. They say, Yahweh says that, telling you about the 144,000 from every tribe of Israel, the African, black Hebrew Israelites, they say, no, the blacks are not the children of Israel, that we have the white European Jews. I mean, and so this is what they're doing on every front. And so basically what I'm seeing is going on is that they're jealous of that. They have created everything possible to make sure that you'll never find out who you are and to give the counterfeit everything. Matter of fact, they even are going to the extent that they will wipe out all the Palestinians or anybody in Israel who's non-European, period. And then everyone over in that Israel, in that area. Now, Babylon has always created enemies in our minds, in the people, so that the people can feel that they're, you know, they're being protected or they're being secured. And so when we look at the pilgrims when they came over here, we look at the Europeans that came into America. They were greeted by the Native Americans, and the Native Americans taught them on Thanksgiving of how to eat, how to live through the winter, and all of that. And then they portray them on TV as the cowboys and Indians, John Wayne and all of these movies, showing that and that we're cheering for the Europeans who are massacring the Native Americans. And they portray them as devils, worshipers of devils, that they're not God's people. God's people is the white supremacists. And so we're listening and we watch the movies and we're indoctrinated to believe that lie. And so we believe, you know, forever that, you know, that they were the enemies of God and that we were civilizing them. Then they went to Africa and taking the Africans from there, telling them that they are civilizing them, they're bringing them to a Christian nation under God, and they're going to learn about God. And that now we're the enemies, and now we are whipped, raped, and plundered in every way. So this barbaric group of people that is running the planet, that's how they operate. They make everybody who is anything right, they're making them as the devil. And that's when they say that we're the sorcerers, we're the voodoo people, we're the evil people in Africa, we're the dark continent, and they are the, you know, salvation of the world. This is how all of this is portrayed to us. This is what's going on in our minds of black people, white people, everybody, because this is what Babylon is doing. They're intoxicating us. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, Chinese. No, no. Everyone's being intoxicated to believe the lie, that they might be damned because they love not the truth, according to Thessalonians. And so the next one is that we had war with Germany and Russia, but okay, we had war with Germany, which is World War II. But in World War II, Germany was, Hitler believed that he was bringing in the million year, you know, the white supremacist teaching of KKK. When the KKK was here, they believed that they were a white segregationists and everything in the Bible Belt. They believe in the name of Jesus that they were supposed to keep us separate. And in the name of Jesus, we're supposed to rape and whip us and do all of these things. This is all under the name of European pagan Christianity. From Jump Street, since they came into existence, this is what they've been doing in the name of Jesus. So the next thing is that now they're taking it to the next extreme. Even though Germany and the KKK and all of them, they're all the same, because they'll even show you that the Nazis and the KKK, they all use the same flag. So they're all one. So then the next thing is that, okay, World War II is over. Okay, we got them under control. So now they're moving on to taking out all of the, what do you call it, the Arabs. And so now we have, we call the Arabs our enemy and all of this crazy stuff so that we can take over Israel and wipe them all out and bring in the Europeans to be the center of the universe in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. So this is insanity. This is the drunkenness that they have drunk, that we have all drunk of. And through the movies, the TVs, the video games, and the music that's played, all of this is propagating either church, state, or the merchants of the earth through their sorceries. So that's what I was just realizing of what's going on. Any comments?
No, kind of the sooner, the better, or the quicker you realize it, the better off you'll be in kind of noticing the similarities and so forth. Because a lot of people don't, and then they get offended when you mention those kind of things. You got to look at the similarities and look at how things were even coming into existence. So. Yeah. Look at the history.
Yes, the history reveals it all. And like of Revelation 18, we would just read verses 1 down to verse 23, that's where it goes into, again, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, or the tycoons of the earth, for by thy sorceries, by thy pharmakia, by thy food industry, by thy merchants were all nations deceived. Now, how in the world can the entire planet be deceived? Because every nation is drinking and drunk and intoxicated with their foolishness. Wow. How do we free ourselves from this? Is there an escape?
Yeah, there may not be, honestly.
I think one of the main points is to remember that you can't free everybody, too. So some people that are important to you will be left behind. And you have to just accept that and keep it moving, because if you don't accept it, then you'll be staying back there with them.
Interesting. Because the next verse in chapter 18, verse 4 says, guess what? After it says, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornications, and the kings of the earth that committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. That's verse 3. Verse 4 comes out and tells us something that nobody wants to hardly hear, but it says it right there. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup of which she had filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. How much torment and sorrow give her, for she has said in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That's exactly what we say in America. We the superpower, ain't nothing going to touch us. That is insanity. Therefore, verse 8, shall her plagues come unto her in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is Yahweh Elohim who judgeth her. Wow. Wow. Now, this is what we were trying to do when we had you guys. We tried to come out of her. That's why you didn't have all those different things. That's why we will try to grow our own food, hang out with the Amish Mennonites, hang out with the hippies, homeschool you, so that you will not get their education. We will feed you different food and that you won't get their food. So we were on the path of understanding some of the merchants of the earth taking you, making sure you don't get the vaccines, making sure you don't get the sorcerers stuff, making sure the education you got was not from the church or from the state. So we had pulled you out of those three areas. Now the next question is, that was that generation. Now the next generation, how far do we take it to the next step? Is there a next step? There has to be one because he said to come out. So as we're learning this stuff, we didn't know as much as we know now. And every day we're learning more information and more understanding of herbs and so forth. And it's amazing that you guys said this year is when this book and what we're studying is coming out, that you said this year that you were impressed to change your diet and lifestyle. Did y'all notice that?
Not really, but good.
I didn't pay attention to all the details. I just kind of realized the way I've been living and so forth made me better. So, especially with the kind of activities that I do. So I want to make sure I'm prepared and ready for whatever.
Well, you just read. You better be ready for whatever. That is for sure. And it's interesting that we're in tune with the universe. See, this all has to do with in tune with Elohim. He has to bring you to that point. I can't tell you, hey, you need to change your diet. You need, no. I can tell you that, but that don't mean anything. When you decide and Yahweh impresses on you to change certain aspects of your life, your diet, your food, your health, your exercise, I mean, all of these different things that we just talked about, separating from this church, school, you know, education, state, and you know, all this stuff, that he's working on you for something. That was my point. My point is that it's very clear that you guys are being connected to the Creator. He's leading you down a path. And y'all are on it. That's what I thought was interesting. Because some people have heard this for 10, 20, 50 years of their life, and they haven't changed a thing. And they don't ever plan to. Now, some are, but I heard one brother, he's in his 60s now, and he says he needs to change. He's changing. He's going to exercise. He got to do it. And that's good. I'm glad, you know. But that's what I'm saying. It took that long. You guys are in your 20s, right? Ayanfe moved to her 30s. So that's good. Y'all got it in your earlier days, in your 20s. And that's when we did it, in 1976. It came in, you know, 20 years old. So Yahweh's still working with you guys. Y'all still are the John the Baptist that y'all don't know about yet. But anyway, he has to bring you to the wilderness. He has to prepare you. But it's an individual. So, like, when you read the Bible, the only people that I read in the Bible that as a group served Yahweh was those that came out of Israel, that came out of Egypt. First, you got to come out of Egypt, okay? When you come out of, okay, oh, my goodness, this is really good. Okay, when they came out of Egypt, they said they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? To kill off all of that other generation that came out. And their children was the only ones to go in. Moses didn't go in, but I believe Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two that went out into the promised land. So, but their next generation children, the Bible says that they obeyed Yahweh until the death of Joshua, and the next generation after them would, you know, forsake Yahweh, you know, forsake. So there was that one little group in between the people of the parents that left Egypt. They raised up his children, and then the next generation, only that one generation did it. And I think that's you guys. I think that's that next generation. We're trying to leave Egypt. That's what we were doing. So we believe we left it to a certain point, and now y'all are the next generation to And now the way the Bible says they described it, that was under theocracy. Every man did which was right in his own eyes. That means every man had a connection with Yahweh, not the church, not an organization, not different. No, they all had a connection, a personal relationship with him, and he led and guided them. And that's how they became the group that followed him. But the next generation, their children, their children were lost. Their children went off. So I just thought that was interesting for quite a few reasons. First one, my parents, my dad and them, they got kicked out of the church. So they were the first ones to sort of, you know, figure out, hey, something's wrong. Then we got kicked out of the church. That was the next generation. And now you guys are that next group. So the question would be, what will this next group do since two groups have taken it to a point where they were? Will the third group drop the ball? Or will the third group take it to the next level? Because the next generation after you might not make it. And you have to understand that. But you need to understand why they don't make it. And they won't make it because of those three unclean spirits. Those things that are affecting them by their surroundings. Those things that are conditioning us to be robots. And we have to decide, do we take those things from them? Because that's what we did to you guys. We took those things. We didn't let you play video games, don't watch TV, don't have that music. Don't, all of that stuff we took from you. That's what you'll have to do to your children if you want them to make it. If you don't let them make, if they don't make it, it's because of you not removing those things that we know that are destroying them, that are conditioning them. You have to remove those things. You can't let those things be in your life. Just like we didn't let y'all grow up with those. Y'all will have to do the same thing. Now, will that be hard? Yes, that'll be hard. Why will it be hard? Because the same way when it was when y'all were growing up. Okay, everybody else, Johnny, everybody had their video games. Everybody had their, everybody had all their stuff. And y'all didn't have it. But at the end, it worked out. Y'all could see clearer why you didn't have it. Now, the next question is, I know every time I talk to y'all, well, Dad, we're not going to raise them up like you guys did. No, y'all got to take them to the next level. We had a level. Y'all got to take them to the next level if you're coming out of her, my people. If we're going to follow what's here, and if we're going to realize, like Jabari said, if we're going to realize how deep this thing is, how intoxicating this stuff is, of what we're dealing with devils and we're dealing with demons and we're dealing with unclean spirits and we're dealing with foul spirits. You got to disconnect from that crazy stuff because that stuff will get in you. And once it's in you, especially when you're young, it's over. So we do have the keys. Y'all do have the keys to the kingdom. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. Was it hard for us? Yeah. But hey, you have to choose what you want. And you're getting it from all sides, mentally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, drugged. I mean, they are attacking us on every angle, every way possible through the five senses. Any comments?
No.
It's going to be tough to find someone on board for that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the, probably the most difficult part.
Yeah, most amazing part, yeah, I think.
Unless I end up adopting someone or something and just doing my little thing by myself, which won't happen more than like. But finding someone who maybe had that same walk of life, because you know most people aren't willing to take that kind of sacrifice, or especially if they didn't experience it.
There's some out there. There's some out there who grew up similar to you guys. Very far and few in between. But there are some. Because we met their parents. And they were doing the same thing, and they were in different places on the planet, as you know. But they, you know, they might have a different philosophy. So there's lots of things to consider. But, yep, that is correct. All right, Ayanfe and Mope, haven't heard your last comments as we close out.
I mean, I don't really have a bunch of comments. I was, you know, again, yeah, it is a difficult task. I think it's even more difficult today. But like Devari said, I mean, even when we were younger, there weren't people that grew up as we grew up. Even the cousins and even friends. Got to marry an Amish person, Devari, or a Mennonite. But they only stayed of their own kind, and I'll marry a black one, so might be in trouble, man.
Not everything's on the table.
Well, I mean, definitely I can speak firsthand. It's definitely not an easy job. You do get the best you can, and you know, hopefully you have a you win whatever that person is you're raising your child with.
Okay, you're talking too close to the phone. I can your words are being muffled. I can hardly understand. Try that again.
Nope. All I said was, okay, yep. No, I understand. And I can relate. And whoever that is you have your child with, you want to make sure that together you guys are on the same page. So, yep. It's real out there. So.
Now, I guess for a while you guys thought Mom and I were crazy. Now y'all got most of the facts, so, yo, what? This is what we're dealing with? Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. And not many people want to deal with it. Matter of fact, I was speaking with somebody. Who was that? Yeah, like I said, this week we've been with Mom a lot. And so we were talking about it, and Mom, we were just mentioning, and Mom says, yeah, I can see it. I can see why people are separate. That's why the Amish are separated. That's why the Mennonites are separated. That's why the hippies are separated. That's why Malcolm and them wanted to be separated. And that's and she says she understands clearly because the Jewish people that she grew up around, you know, in New York, they had their own school, they had their own stuff, and they were separated. And now she said she understands why. And I said, yeah, Mom, that's good. I'm glad you know. So it's very interesting as, you know, years go on, that you're able to put one and one together and, you know, come up with two. So. All right. If that's the last comment, can we have someone offer up a word of prayer for us?
Dear God, thank you for the discussion. Continue to bless us and keep us and guide us as we go our separate ways until next week, and help us to dilute and understand and dissect your word and stay focused and true to what we feel is right. In your name I do pray, amen.
Amen.